opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Here's how you count to eight, three, two, one. And for the eighth time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky. CATS.
Champs, champs, champs.
Oh, it's a sea of blue. It's beautiful.
It's awesome.
Oh,
my gosh. They're crazy. They're the most dedicated
fans
I've ever seen.
Go
Big
Blue!
C-A-T-S-K-K-K!
No cats there.
Let's go, cats!
Big Blue Nation, show your Wildcat pride and band together with the Podcats. All the UK propaganda you can handle.
Welcome into another edition of the Podcats. I'm Kenny Colson. Alongside me, as always, is Chris Littrell. Chris, tell everyone hello this week.
Hello, everyone. Good to be here.
All right. I was hoping you might have something interesting.
That's all I got.
Okay. Well, I'm always intrigued whether you're going to bring something new or you're just going to give us a little soft hello. But obviously, we know what you're going to give us this week. Quick note, if you don't subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, I'm really tired of telling everyone this, so just go ahead and do it, and then we'll just have to, we can stop saying it. Also, at the kickoff of football season, the Podcats is open for sponsorship. So if you'd like to sponsor us, feel free to contact us or those at Louisville.am to talk about sponsorship deals. We did a sponsorship at O-Line Sports Grill. It was pretty successful. We got some people there. It was a good time. Somebody won like a gift card and everything else. We won't talk about what happened during the game there.
Yeah, was a low point.
Yeah, but I feel like it was a turning around point. That's what I'll talk about. But anyways, if you'd like to sponsor us, get in contact with us or Louisville.am folks. So, Chris, the time has finally come. It is now. It is here. College football season
has begun.
It will officially start on Thursday with a great matchup, South Carolina at Texas – Texas A&M, South Carolina. I'm not sure where it's being played at. I think at South Carolina, actually. But starting on the SEC Network, that's fantastic. Kentucky kicks off its season at noon this Saturday. And I got to say, I'm ready for it. I like the Big Blue Bahamas trip. I like all this basketball talk. Football is where my heart is usually at. And so I'm very excited. So we're going to break down. There was some news that has happened in football since we last recorded. And we're going to break down some of that. We're going to do our predictions. Hopefully we predict better than we did last season. That's all I'm going to say about that. If you haven't listened to it, we're not going to
tell you. Back in the archives.
No, we're not going to tell you where it's at. I think we deleted that show. But anyways, it's here. I'm excited. Are you excited?
I couldn't be more excited. I live for college football. My life makes sense during football season. It provides order and stability to my life. So yes, I am just chomping at the bit to get going. Another interesting SEC matchup Thursday night: Ole Miss taking on Boise State.
Oh, that's the Chick-fil-A. Kickoff game.
Yeah, in the Georgia Dome. Yeah, so both those games played Thursday night. And, I just can't wait for a Thursday night, Friday night, all day Saturday. It's going to be great.
Ole Miss is a dark horse team for me this year. I know Alabama, Auburn, LSU should all be good. Should be good. I think Ole Miss can be in that mix as well, currently ranked preseason 18th. But I think they could sneak into the top two of the SEC West this year. So we'll find out after that game. If they can win that game and convincingly Boise State's not ranked, Chris Peterson era is over there, it will be interesting to see. But I could see Ole Miss going to the Cotton Bowl this year. Big step up. But back to Kentucky, the biggest news, I think, this would not be a show talking about SEC football if we didn't bring up quarterbacks. It was announced that Patrick Toles, a redshirt sophomore, who's been through pretty much hell and back at Kentucky, has been handed over the reins, the starting job. And additionally, The plan is to redshirt Drew Barker. And I bring both of those things up at the same time because I think they go hand in hand. What the staff is trying to say, in my opinion, is Toles is the guy. He's got the offense down. He's the most skilled player right now. He's the complete package right now. And we need to create separation between him and Drew Barker. Don't count out Reese Phillips. Great player. Apparently didn't have enough to beat Toles for the job. Could be a great backup who's also a redshirt freshman. But what they're saying is we've got to create some space, got to create 2 years between Toles and Barker. And I'm not entirely sure that we're going to see Barker before his sophomore, junior year at best. So what do you take about what do you think about Toles being handed the reins? And it doesn't appear that he's going to be on a short leash.
Well, you just ask yourself, does it mean more of the fact that they have that much confidence in Patrick Toles and his ability to hold on to that starting position all year long? Or does it say more that, maybe this staff was, and we talked about this for the last, two or three weeks. Did this coaching staff really want to redshirt Drew Barker that bad? To go ahead and just make this move. I mean, they waited a long time. I mean, they waited as long as they could to name a starter. But I think the only thing you got to worry about now is an injury. I've read some articles about what would it take to play Drew Barker this year? If Toles got hurt early in the season, would they go ahead and let Drew Barker go ahead and play this year? But, I'm happy that Barker does get the red shirt. I've said it on this show multiple times that I think that was the best thing for him to do. And, now at this point, you just got to hope that Patrick Toles is the guy. And, you got a couple other guys that can be his backup, and hopefully they won't have to bring Barker off and let him get this extra year. I think it'll be a huge positive factor for the program going down the road.
I think so, too. Stoops said he's going to play a lot of freshmen this year, about half the class that he recruited. Pretty much every wide receiver that is coming into this class as a freshman is going to play, is in the two deep on the depth chart, which was released this week. I'm a fan of Toles starting. One, I think he's talented. He showed promise his true freshman year that he could play. I think he got thrown to the wolves way too soon. If he has fine-tuned. The problem with Toles is that he just tried to throw a 50-yard bomb every time in my eyes the last couple of years. If he's reined that in, that would be fantastic. Or if the air raid offense just dictates that he just slings it around the field and it's great for him, that's even better. I'm of the mindset that throwing Drew Barker to the Wolves in the SEC year one is crushing mentally. And I think you've seen the last couple of quarterbacks at UK go through that. Jalen Whitlow, Morgan Newton, Maxwell Smith. You get beat up physically. You get beat up mentally. I know Drew Barker came in a semester early to, lift weights, get a handle on the playbook, and that's fantastic. It's fantastic. I don't think you can be successful in the SEC with a true freshman quarterback. I don't know of one that has succeeded as a true freshman quarterback. Johnny Manziel was a redshirt freshman, the reigning Heisman winner. Jameis Winston, redshirt freshman. To play high-level college ball immediately, you either need to be in a position that allows it, wide receiver, defensive tackle. You need to be the next great thing. You need to be the next Barry Sanders, Drew Brees, something like that, Peyton Manning, to come in and play as a true freshman in the SEC. I think a year watching everyone else will be great for him. If Toles gets hurt, the depth chart does currently say Reese Phillips or Drew Barker. But there is an X factor here. Let's say Toles makes it through 6 to 7 games and goes down with an injury. There's one guy that's not being brought up because he hasn't really entered the competition yet. Maxwell Smith. Guy's going to be a junior. If Toles goes down and you have Reese Phillips, Drew Barker, and Maxwell Smith, You're halfway through the season. I don't think you burn the red shirt on Drew Barker. I don't think this staff is a fan of burning red shirts. And I say that because they held one on Reese Phillips last year. They held one on Patrick Toles last year. And if there was any year that you needed to burn a couple red shirts at quarterback, last year was the year. So I think they'll hold the red shirt unless chaos happens. And don't count out Maxwell Smith. I mean, if there are injuries, if there are problems in the middle of the year, the guy is capable. He can't stay healthy for a full season. But if you need a guy to fill in for a couple games while another guy's hurt, Maxwell Smith's not a bad option. He's not a bad option. So it's very interesting. I'm glad they went this route. I couldn't be more pleased. I hope Barker doesn't eventually transfer, and we haven't heard that. I'm not trying to start any rumors. I hope that's not the case. I know the kid came to Kentucky because he wanted to play. Probably could have gone somewhere places and played. But in reality, if he wants to have a long career, study the playbook this year, watch from the sidelines, soak up as much as you can, work to get that SEC body as a quarterback to withstand those hits, and then compete for the job as a redshirt freshman next year. And I think he could beat out Toles and or Reese Phillips at that point.
Yeah, I definitely think he can too. I think he will. I think he was real close to being able to do it this year. And, you know, it's just there's a unique situation going on down there right now too, because you've got this recruiting buzz. You know, the last couple of years the recruiting has just been great, and it looks like the class that's coming in next year is going to be really strong too. So I think the coaching staff is just looking at it more in terms of a long game kind of thing, and just saying, you know, let's give a lot of these guys a year of experience, and there's no reason to rush this freshman quarterback into this thing. Let's let the guys around him, even this year's freshman, get a year under their belt, and let Drew Barker come in and play next year with this next round of you know, excellent recruits that they've got coming in. And, you know, let's – I think they're thinking, you know, 2, 3, 4 years down the road when Barker will be a junior or a senior, and the pieces that they'll have in place to put around him then. You know, I think they're just looking at maybe 2016 and 2017 as being, you know, blockbuster years. So let's build in the long term thinking that way.
Absolutely. I'm really excited to see how this goes. I hope Toles succeeds. I think he will. I don't know that he'll be the greatest quarterback. I think he'll succeed. He clearly can run the air raid offense. He's got the arm strength to do it. I'm ready for takeoff on offense. I'm ready to see. We didn't get it last year. The personnel wasn't there. It's not at full staff this year, but I think we'll start to see that air raid offense that was much talked about, much anticipated. Finally, we'll get a hold of it this year. Some other depth chart things that I think are interesting. I don't know if you saw this or not, Chris. Jason Hatcher will actually start at defensive end opposite Za'Darius Smith. I think that's huge. Last year, he played a little bit at defensive end. They thought about moving him to outside linebacker. The crazy thing about this, let me just get this out of the way. If you look at Kentucky's depth chart, it's kind of confusing because they don't list just a standard 11 on both either offense or defense, because they're going to play multiple sets. Kentucky will probably play either a 3-4 or a 4-3 depending on who they play. But Hatcher seems to be the starter there at one of the defensive end spots. Bud Dupree, all SEC, will start at strong linebacker currently. And so it's kind of interesting to see that Dupree is the guy who's going to kind of stand up and be more of the rushing linebacker, maybe drop back into a little bit of coverage. But Hatcher obviously making the depth chart at the starting in his sophomore year. Matt Elam is currently number two at one of the defensive tackle positions. Stoops already said he's going to play, probably playing the first game. He's part of a six-man, maybe a 5 to 6 man rotation there at defensive tackle. Some other interesting things, Braylon Hurd will get the start at running back, transfer from Nebraska. JoJo Kemp will be second on the depth chart. Josh Clemens, not on the first two, but you got to think he's going to get some play. Very excited for that running back position. Pretty much all the freshman wide receivers are number two at their wide wide receiver positions. The depth chart lists is 4 wide receivers. We'll see if we actually get into some 4 wide sets. Last year, you mostly had 2 and 3 wide sets with the tight end lining up wide. Borden has the lock on the tight end position. That's Sting's son for you wrestling fans. And so I wish just one game Borden would come out in like his dad's old like crow, you know, type face paint. You know, guys basically do face paint now with the eye block. They got it all the way down.
Or maybe his dad watches the game from like up where the lights are or something. Like,
yeah, and then just spotlight him up there. You know, he's got the baseball bat, old school WCW style. Or you could go way back, original WCW, WWF style, where he was a surfer Sting and, you know, do that face. Whatever to get in the head of the cornerback or linebacker that he's going to, you know, face off against. So very excited for that. Braylon Hurd, great guy, transferred from Nebraska. Big things going to come from him. And then JoJo Kemp, the best running back on the team last year, is going to relieve him. I think that would be more than a timeshare than like a straight 1 and 2. DeMarco Robinson back on the team, will start the first game, is a starter at one of the wide receiver positions. Hope for a breakout year for him. Overall, just very excited for this team. I don't know that they have the experience and the full 2 to 3 deep depth chart that you need in the SEC. I feel pretty confident they're about halfway there, though. And I think that will turn into a very good season. I'm already talking myself into making a prediction I don't want to do. We're not even gotten there yet, and I'm just so excited. I know I'm going to overpredict. But anything else on the football team looking at the depth chart that you're excited about? And then we will go game by game and do predictions.
Well, 2 guys that I want to see what they've got, 2 freshmen, Boom Williams, the running back from Georgia, who could have gone just about anywhere he wanted. I think he had offers from Florida State and Auburn and Alabama, Clemson, pretty much everybody, and came to Kentucky. I'm interested to see how much he sees on the field in these first couple games. And the Thaddeus Snodgrass kid from Ohio, the receiver, I'm interested to see what he can do too. Pretty highly touted kid that Vince Morrow went up to Ohio and got 2 freshmen right there that I've kind of been looking forward to seeing what they can add to this team from the start.
Absolutely. I'm excited for the freshmen. I think you'll see some great contributors from that. Obviously, the wide receivers are going to be, I think, a few defensive backs as well. Stoops did say that the wide receivers, Elam, I think 1 or 2 defensive backs, Stanley Boom Williams will all play this season. Outside of those guys, and I may be missing 1 or 2, the rest are playing to redshirt. Elam will obviously play. So Lloyd Tubman, another defensive tackle, a couple of the defensive ends, some of the other guys, the plan is to redshirt all of them, some of the offensive linemen, which I think is smart. You don't see Alabama playing a lot of true freshmen. You don't see LSU, Auburn, even Ole Miss, Georgia. None of these teams play a lot of true freshmen unless they're just otherworldly talent. If they do, it's normally at the running back or wide receiver position, unless they're just a go-to NFL talent. So I think it's a good idea to redshirt these guys. I think they're smart enough to realize they may not be ready mentally or physically and need some time. I think our offensive line will be better because a lot of those guys have redshirted under Stoops from years before. You've got some of these guys who were recruited the first year, didn't play the field offensive line wise, and now they're going to come in and they're competing for spots or have won starting spots. So that's very important to have that 1 year to get your body acclimated, get your mind acclimated, focus on school. I like this. You should redshirt freshmen when you can. So, Chris, it's going to be a long season.
We're ready here.
We're ready. We're going to go game by game because, well, do you want to go game by game first or an overall prediction and then break down your wins and losses? Last year we went game by game and we talked ourselves into a few more wins that obviously didn't occur. So I don't want to force you into something, you know, you're not ready to say.
Well, Let's just go game by game.
Okay. All right, we'll start with this weekend's game, Saturday at noon. University of Tennessee Martin Skyhawks come to Commonwealth Stadium for the season opener. I'd have to think there's a win here. I mean, they're paying this team to come in and win. It's got to be a win.
Yeah, I'm going to pencil in a win. This team did go 7-5 last year.
You can't even pin in a win for UT Martin?
They went 7-5 last year.
All right. Okay.
I'm penciling it in.
Are you writing anything in pen in this schedule?
No.
Not even Louisiana Monroe?
I think they had a winning record last year as
okay.
well.
All right. Well, so you don't.
But I'm quite confident that Kentucky will win this game. It's going to be extremely interesting to watch them play this first game of the year because there's just so much hype and expectations for improvement from this Kentucky team this year. So it's I fully expect them to come out and win, and I hope that they do so looking good and do it in a convincing fashion, which I absolutely think they can. I mean, this could easily be a 35-0 win.
I would hope so. I was just thinking about that. What would make me and the fan base in general happy? And at first I thought like a 42-7 victory. I'm okay if they give up a few scores. Our secondary is a little weak still. Outside of Bud Dupree, I'm not really confident in the linebackers. The front four I'm ecstatic about. I would be okay with like a 42-12 or 35-14, something like that. I want to see some points on the board. I think what most people are going to look at, while the defense will be a strong suit, I think they finally want to see some points on the board, some big plays. And so I think even if it's a little bit closer than comfort would say, if it's within 2 or 3 touchdowns, as long as points are being scored, I think the fan base overall will be happy. They'll see an improvement in that. Hope for good games out of Toles as well. As I think that's generally what we need to see out of this first game. So they're 1-0.
Yeah.
Then Ohio comes to Commonwealth Stadium September 6th, 3:30 p.m. So you got an afternoon game, thank goodness. Predictions on this because, Ohio has come into Commonwealth Stadium before and pulled an upset.
Yeah, Ohio, no slouch. An upper-tier MAC team. They go to a bowl game, very often, maybe not every year, but the expectations at Ohio is to go to a bowl game every year. Frank Solich is a really good coach. Coached and played at Nebraska. He's been at Ohio for a long time. Louisville just absolutely destroyed this Ohio team last year. First game of the year, Labor Day weekend. Beat them like 49-0 or something like that. And it was an Ohio team that I think a lot of people thought was going to be really good last year. I don't know what they've got coming back, who they lost. But they did go on to go 7-6 last year. This is another game where it's not going to be just handed to the Cats on a silver platter. They're going to have to play good enough to win this game. And, there's probably not as much difference on this roster from a talent standpoint with, between Ohio and Kentucky as a lot of people would think. Because Ohio is recruiting a bunch of kids from Ohio, just like Kentucky wants to go and try and do nowadays. Now, I think Kentucky should win this game. If they don't, I think it's a disappointment. I think it's an upset. It's at Commonwealth. They have to win. You can't let Ohio come in and beat you second game of the year. It would kind of derail all the excitement that's, built up right now for this season. But this, again, going to be a tough game, and they're going to have to play at a high level to win it.
So, obviously, if Kentucky were to lose this Ohio game, that will signal a disappointing season again, correct? I mean, I think it would have to. Second game of the year, a team you're expected to beat. They will challenge Kentucky, but a team they're expected to beat. If they lose this game, you can pretty much count anything over 2 wins out of the question.
Very likely, yeah. I mean, this is one of the games that I think a lot of Kentucky fans who are saying, you know, that they're going to win four games this year, where they're absolutely counting these first two as wins. You know, there's only, you know, one, two, maybe three games on this entire schedule that a UK fan can say is a winnable game. And, you know, Ohio's one of them. So, yeah, if they were to lose this second game of the year at home, I think you would it would set the tone for a disappointing season.
But your prediction is that they'll win it, correct?
No, yeah, I think they'll win. I mean, I'm buying into everything that everyone's talking about, how this team's progressing. They're better. They have better talent than they had 2 years ago. They're better coached than they were 2 years ago. Yeah, I mean, Ohio coming into Commonwealth Stadium, Kentucky should beat them. It might not be a blowout, but they should win.
I'll also put a win down for this one. I think they have to have it.
Absolutely, yeah, they have to. Yeah, these first two games are must-win games.
Absolutely. If they don't win this one, this is that would be the first question in the Mark Stoops era. But I think they're going to win it, so we're not going to go down that road. The next game for me is interesting. At Florida, first road game, 7:30 night game in the Swamp, September 13th. Here's why I think it's interesting, because for some reason or another – I've seen a few national guys put this as an upset watch, and I don't understand why. But I'm thinking, I didn't think Florida was that good last year. Muschamp is back. They seem to be flailing in the offense. They couldn't even keep Joker Phillips around. Maybe, just maybe, Kentucky could go down there and beat another streak in the Swamp, on the road. Really hard to do on the road. But maybe, just maybe, Florida could be at the point where Kentucky could get a win. Is that crazy to think about?
No, it's not, because who was it last year that won at the Swamp? Georgia State, I think,
Georgia
beat Southern. Florida.
Georgia
okay.
Southern, yeah.
Yeah, Georgia Southern, who is not a Division I team. Is that correct? I'm pretty sure that's the case.
That is correct. They're a 1AA team. And just a note, Florida plays Idaho, Eastern Michigan, and then Kentucky. But after Kentucky, the week after, is Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
They could overlook us.
Yes, they could. And, again, after seeing Georgia Southern go in and win at the Swamp last year, I mean, anything's possible. Anyone can go in there and win. It's not the same Florida as it was when Urban Meyer was there. Muschamp definitely on the hot seat. I think Kentucky going to the Swamp and beating Florida would probably be the final nail in Muschamp's coffin, unless he was to just reel off a 9, 10, or 11 game winning streak after that and almost win the national title, which I don't think is going to happen. Most of the things I see about Florida is that they will be an improved team this year. Going to be really hard for Kentucky to go down there and get the win. It would be great. It would be monumental. And it's not, you know, I'm not going to rule it out, but they would have to play the game of their lives in the third game of the season. I just think that's asking a lot in the middle of September to go down there and get that win. So I'm going to put them down as a loss, just being as realistic as I possibly can at this point.
Right. I will agree with you that it is a close loss on the schedule. If we are wrong, it will cement Stoops for at least two more years, and it could be a midseason firing for Will Muschamp. So it is a pivotal game for both of them. I would have to think losing that streak to Kentucky is a fireable offense in Florida. I would have if everything else is not, you would have to put him on midseason fire alert.
Yeah.
But I will say it's a close loss. I think the game will turn up the heat for Muschamp and give Stoops some credit, but it will not be a victory. The week after – oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, too, and, you know, one of the things I'm going to be watching all year long, not only in this Florida game, but just with this Kentucky team all year, is how they play. You know, the last few years we've had to sit through some ugliness on the road sometimes and at home, just with not not belonging on the field with some of these teams in the SEC. So one thing I'm just going to kind of concentrate on this year is the competitiveness of this team with a lot of young guys. There's, you know, a lot of new guys are going to be expected to step in and contribute and, you know, be players on this team. So let's see, you know, third game of the year going down to the Swamp. Let's see how these guys can handle that and just hope that they can play competitively and not just fold when a couple things don't go their way. And then the next thing you know, a close game becomes a 28-point blowout.
Absolutely. Agree 100%. So now we're at 2-1. Not a bad start to the year, considering you had to play Florida at Florida in the third game. This next game, I think, I'm willing to say, is the most pivotal game on the schedule. Vanderbilt comes to Commonwealth Stadium. James Franklin is gone. Most of the good team that he had is gone. The recruiting class, while salvaged, is nothing like what he was bringing in. Vanderbilt is rebuilding. I know they don't want to think that. Mason may turn out to be a good coach. They are rebuilding. This has to be a winnable game for Kentucky. I will mark it down as a win. If you want to win four games for sure this year, Vanderbilt is your fourth win at Commonwealth Stadium. I don't know how we're going to play in that game because you're coming right out of the Swamp. Used to play Vanderbilt at the, you know, second to last game of the year. We'd be beat up. We didn't feel like playing. We knew our season was over. If you want to keep any bowl hopes alive, which is a reach, or even a four-win season alive, Vanderbilt is a must-win. You must be 3-1 coming out of September.
Yeah, and I have them winning this game. I have Kentucky being 3-1 after this game. I do think that this Vanderbilt game is one of the two most important games on this schedule. The Vanderbilt game being the first legitimate chance, I think, for Kentucky to get an SEC win this year at home against Vandy. That's probably their best shot at an SEC win. I'm not saying that that's the only one they'll get, but yeah, very important. And one thing I like about Kentucky's chances against Vanderbilt, they're going to get 2 weeks to prepare for them. The Florida game's on the 13th, and they're going to get the following weekend off and play Vanderbilt on the 27th. So they're going to get time to, you know, an extra week to game plan for Vandy, any injuries, nagging injuries, or just guys that are bumped up, bruised up, going to get some extra time to heal and come into this game fresh at home. You know, again, like we said, if they go down to Florida and even if they don't win, but they show good and you know, look competitive and the fan base is still engaged and interested, you know, Commonwealth will be rocking for this Vandy game. Very winnable. You're right. I think Vanderbilt was just kind of a flash in the pan thing because I think Franklin is kind of a hot coach. He's going to go up to Penn State and probably do well there. But I think they are going to take a step back. I think Vanderbilt's probably going to take a look at the way they did things while James Franklin was there. Might have played a little more loosey-goosey with the recruiting and what kind of kid they brought in. You know, than they usually do. There was some trouble down there that you don't usually hear about Vanderbilt. You know, you don't hear their name with stuff like that. So we might see Vanderbilt kind of come back to earth a little bit as far as how their program has, you know, traditionally been as far as competing in the SEC. But yeah, I've got Kentucky down for a win. I think 3-1 at this point is you know, not out of the question at all.
It's going to be a big game. It's going to be a crucial game. If Kentucky wants to rise out of the cellar of the SEC, they're going to have to do it by stepping on Vanderbilt's head. There's no way around it. You have to win that game in the SEC to be anything other than last place.
Yeah.
The difference between the two teams is who wins year in and year out, and lately it's been Vanderbilt. If that tide is to turn, Kentucky has to start winning that game. The next week, South Carolina comes to town. I think South Carolina is going to win the SEC East. This is probably going to be a loss. The question is going to be how close of a loss. We all know Spurrier likes to run it up, and I'm pretty sure he's still pissed that he got beat a couple years ago by by us. So I have to put this down as a loss. You're going to look at Kentucky on October 5th being 3-2.
Yeah, I agree with you. South Carolina has won 11 games in, what, 2 or 3 years in a row. I think they're probably at their peak right now as far as with Spurrier as a coach. They've really done it kind of under the radar. They've been really good for the last couple of years, but haven't really been in the national title conversation just due to some maybe early season losses and stuff like that. But they have been really solid the last couple, 3 years, and have sent some really top-notch guys to the pros in that time frame. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you're talking about an uphill battle right here going up against a South Carolina team that's just good at every position, deep. I mean, they just got really good players across the board. And it's just going to be one of those games that's, you know, going to be a real test of, and it's going to be a good way to see where, you know, where Kentucky's at. This will easily be the best team that they played yet on this schedule. I think South Carolina is ranked 9th in the preseason. I'm pretty sure Florida isn't ranked. So this will be their first game against, you know, an upper echelon opponent. And it'll be a good barometer. I mean, if Kentucky goes out there and you know, gets kicked around and loses by 3 or 4 touchdowns, well then, you know, I don't think anyone would be surprised, but it's going to be kind of disappointing. It is at home, and I think you just have to look at it from the standpoint of the team and the coaching staff is, you know, here's your shot to go out there and measure yourself against one of the better teams in the SEC, but I do think it's going to be a loss, and we're looking at 3-2 after this one.
I have to agree. The next two games are very easy for me to predict. I don't know about you. I'm going to lump them together. They're both from the state of Louisiana. One is an absolute win. It's the next game after South Carolina. Louisiana Monroe comes to town. Absolutely a win for the Cats. I think you can write this one in pen. I know you said you're probably going to stay away from that. I'm going to write that one in pen. So at that point, you have your fourth win, and I think you've covered the over. I think Vegas has them at 3 wins for the over-under. So you've hit the over at this point, and you've doubled your wins from last year. Pretty good. Pretty good. I like that. 4 wins. The next game, you're going to LSU. It's going to be an absolute loss. There's just Death Valley is a totally different animal. I'm not sure if it's going to be a night game or not. If it's a night game, just, you know.
Forget it.
Yeah, mail it in. LSU is a dark horse national championship contender. No way. So, 2 Louisiana teams, 1 win, 1 loss. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. Louisiana Monroe went 6-6 last year. I just know that there was not a team on Kentucky's non-conference schedule that had a losing record last year. And I know Monroe was the only team that finished just at 500. So, again, no total slouch, but absolutely should be a win at home. The next week at LSU, again, it's going to be just like the South Carolina game. Let's go out there, line up. You're getting ready. Here's your opportunity. This is why you came to Kentucky, to play against the best. Here's your opportunity. LSU will probably be in the top 5 when this game is played. They've got the top running back as a freshman in the country, and Leonard Fournette, a guy that, I mean, they're comparing him to the best of the best. So that'll be fun to watch. Yeah, a loss, absolutely a loss. If Kentucky beats LSU at LSU, it'll be the greatest win in the history of the program, put it that way.
Right. Well, yes. I mean, currently the best win against LSU is when they were number 1 at Commonwealth Stadium. It will no doubt rival that.
Yeah.
On the road may boost it above that. But that 3 overtime game was kind of hard to beat.
Yeah, that was a classic.
So at this point, the team is 4-3, and this is where you would have the difference between a bowl season and a non-bowl season. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I don't think UK will win 6 games to make it to a bowl. I think they will be close. And the reason why I think they'll be close is because after losing at LSU, I think they come back and beat Mississippi State for the first time in a couple years at Commonwealth Stadium. I'm marking that down as a fifth win. Kentucky will be 5-3 going into the last week of the last month of the season. And so I know that's on some people that may be an upset for them. They may have that on their radar. It's on mine. I think this is the year Kentucky overtakes Mississippi State. I'm giving them a fifth win here.
Well, it's entirely possible. There's no doubt about that. And Mississippi State's been that team on Kentucky's schedule for the last few years that we've always kind of looked at and said, we can get this win, and most times it has not happened. They have a really good quarterback, Dak Prescott. I remember watching him play last year in the Egg Bowl. Very exciting game. Came down to the end, and I think he made a big play, and they beat Ole Miss to end their season. I even heard Greg McElroy on the SEC Network the other day talk about Dak Prescott as a dark horse Heisman Trophy candidate. I'm not sure I totally believe that, but he is a good kid or a good football player. I don't know if he's a good kid or not. He might not be, for all I know. But a big kid can run the ball. It'll be, you know, fun to see what Kentucky's defense can do against a guy like him. Very athletic. But, yeah, absolutely can get this win. It's at home. Last game in October. It'll be a big day at Keeneland probably, and be a good day to go to the game. But, yeah, that's one of those that's I can't write them off as far as maybe getting the W here.
I need you to pick one. You got to say win or
Sorry,
loss.
I had to sneeze there, so I had to take a drastic measure. You know, when I was looking at the schedule earlier today, there's just like three games here towards the end of the season that it's hard for me to pick. I'll go ahead and I'm going to give them the win on this one just because it's at home. I mean, I think it'll be a good win. I really do if they can beat Mississippi State because I think Mississippi State's going to be a pretty decent team this year. So when you get to about, you know, a little more than halfway through the season, it's kind of hard for me to predict at that point. You know, actually, I'm going to go ahead and put them down as a loss.
As a loss. You're going to switch. Yeah. You've talked yourself out of it. Okay.
Yeah.
I've got
them
at 5-3. You've got them at 4-4 at this point. Yeah. The next four games, which we'll touch on individually, would be the difference between a bowl game or not in my scenario. What's keeping me from saying there will be a win, I'm going to give it away, there's no wins in these last four games, is that three of the four are on the road. If they were at home, I might give them a better chance. Purely optimistic, pie in the sky, Kentucky wins one of these last four games and goes to a bowl game. I don't think they're there yet. That's a year three jump that they're going to make. I think five is going to be quite a big jump for this team. But that next game at Missouri, Missouri's going to have a little bit of a drop off, but not too much. If you remember, their backup tore us up last year. They're pretty deep. They're reigning SEC East champions. I don't think they'll repeat. They could, though. At Missouri, I just don't think Kentucky's going to go to Missouri and pull that one off. I think it'll be close. I think they'll play them competitive. I don't think it's a victory.
Wasn't this a pretty competitive game last year that most people thought Kentucky was going to get blown out and they had a pretty decent showing, or am I thinking of something?
I think you've actually got that backwards because we predicted a win and they ended up, I think, toasting Kentucky pretty good.
Okay. Going on the road. Missouri's a solid team. They surprised a lot of people last year. They really did. Had the SEC Defensive Player of the Year, hardest player in the game. So a lot, you know, I don't really know much about them. I've already got it written down here as a loss for Kentucky going to Missouri.
It was a 48-17 loss for Kentucky in Commonwealth Stadium. The good news is they don't have Green Beckham, but they're still a pretty talented team. So that is most definitely a loss in my mind. The next week is Georgia. Georgia is another team that could win the SEC East. They've got the talent to do it. For some reason, they just never do, which puts Rick on the hot seat continually down there in Athens. Kentucky always plays Georgia and Rick close. I think they ever played them pretty close last year for a while. I don't think they'll get the upset. I think it'll be a close game. In my scenario, Kentucky fans may feel like this could be the sixth win for a bowl game. It's not going to happen. It's going to be close, but something tells me that it's just not going to be close enough. You're not going to have one of those Trevard Lindley interceptions that seals the game for Kentucky. I have to put them down as a loss.
Yeah, me too. I mean, Georgia just across the board at every position is you know, just so much better than Kentucky. Maybe not at every position, but Georgia is what Kentucky aspires to be, is, you know, that solid upper-tier SEC team that recruits good players at every position. You're right. They have the talent every year to compete for a national title. Usually what gets Georgia, I think, is they always lose like their first or second game of the year. And, you know, and then end up 11-1 or something like that. But, you know, they're a solid program. I think they're preseason number 12. And this year, Kentucky did beat them, what, like 2009 or something like that. So it has happened fairly recently, but I don't think it's going to happen this year. Georgia gets the win.
Yeah, Georgia actually blew out Kentucky 59-17 last year, so I think they must have been competitive for the first 5 minutes. I think I'm flashing back a little bit farther than normal. But
Kentucky does traditionally play Georgia good. So they play them tough.
So at this point, there's two games left in the season. You've got Kentucky with 4 wins. I've got them with 5, being 5-5. You've got them being 4-6.
Yeah.
Then you go to Tennessee. It's no longer the last game of the season. I don't think Kentucky will win this game. Let me say this, though. If Kentucky does win this game, the reason is Tennessee is absolutely completely rebuilding their offensive and defensive lines. It's really hard to do in the SEC to be competitive when you're rebuilding your entire trench lines. I mean, those two sections of their respective sides of the field are crucial in the SEC. They don't get a lot of credit. They're crucial. So I could see Kentucky's front four really dominating Tennessee's front line and that being a difference. Unfortunately, if it was at Commonwealth Stadium, I would give Kentucky a 6th win here. It's on the road in Neyland Stadium. I'm going to say Kentucky loses a heartbreaker. Will not win this game.
Yeah, as much as it pains me, I agree with you. There's just something about going down there, and Kentucky just – there's been so many times here in the last 10 years that I can remember Kentucky going to Neyland Stadium with what seemed like a fairly decent chance to maybe pull off an upset that, and just, you know, it was abysmal. So – this is a team, though, Tennessee, kind of like the Mississippi State game, where, you know, it's a good opportunity for Kentucky to get an SEC win. This is not the Tennessee of old. I mean, Phil Fulmer, when he was there, and he was there for 20 years, did a masterful job of recruiting. You think about some of the guys that they had play there over the years, guys who have, you know, gone on to the NFL. Peyton Manning obviously comes to mind, Arian Foster recently. You know, these are all guys that Tennessee is, and when Phil Fulmer was there, he was really good at going out and bringing guys in from all over the country. I mean, Tennessee always had quarterbacks from California and just recruited nationally. And I don't know if Butch Jones, you know, is going to be able to do that as effectively as Phil Fulmer did. So, you know, Tennessee, it's – who knows what is in store for their program going forward. But I'm like you, Kentucky, just where they are now, definitely on the upswing, definitely got better players, recruiting better, coaching better. But right now where they are as a program, going down to Tennessee and getting a win, especially at that point in the season, I think it's a tall task, and I'm going to go ahead and put down the loss for the Wildcats.
I could see it flipping. As the season goes on, I may change my output. It was hard for me to say loss.
Yeah, this is one of the more winnable games. I mean, as far as – especially the SEC schedule, this is almost as winnable as Vandy. except for the fact that it's on the road and you're going to have to play into that crowd factor. But just the talent on the field, Tennessee's in somewhat of a state of turmoil right now.
I agree wholeheartedly. The last game we're going to predict at Louisville, the rivalry game has moved to the end of the season. Back-to-back rivalry games. Kentucky will have 2 weeks before this game. So conceivably, there could be a victory here, you would think. 2 weeks to prepare, rivalry game. In my scenario, you're playing for a bowl on the road. Louisville is not, you know, Louisville's been run through the gauntlet of the ACC. They have to play Florida State, Notre Dame before having to play Kentucky. Could be an upset special. So I'm going to reserve my right to change my mind on this as the season goes on, because conceivably this could be the fourth win. This could be the fifth win. This could be the sixth win. This could be just as pivotal as a game. And it's a rivalry game. You don't know what's going to happen. We're talking about something months down the road. That's all I'm going to say about this game, other than I think today, if I had to predict it, it would be a loss for Kentucky. They would finish the year 5-7 under my scenario. I don't want to say too much else about this Louisville game, because you never know what's going to happen. They may not have Devontae Parker. He's got a 6-8, you know, week time frame. Re-injuring, you know, yourself is very easy to do. You know, it could be anything for him, just to be a precaution if they're already locked into a bowl game. You never know. So I'm going to say loss, and we're going to revisit this in a couple of weeks, in the very least, to see, because it is one of those pivotal games like Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, and Tennessee that I could see Kentucky winning.
Yeah, and I said earlier that Vanderbilt was one of the two most important games on this schedule, and obviously Louisville being the other very important game on this schedule. I like the Vanderbilt game. Kentucky will get 2 weeks to prepare for Louisville, as you said, which I think is going to be huge. They'll be able to address their injury situation and just get an extra week to game plan for Louisville. It is on the road, but not a long, you know, road trip. It's a place that, you know, they've played before. They're close to home. They'll be home that night. And, yeah, I think that that game, with Kentucky coming into that game, as I've predicted, with 4 wins, this is going to be their bowl game. This will be their big game, their national championship game at the end of the year, last game of the season against the in-state rival. And if they can get this win in the last game of the year, get to 5 wins, I think it would provide them with such a boost of momentum going into the off season that it would be all systems go for next year. And like you said, Louisville will have run the gauntlet by the time we get to this point. Kentucky will have the week off before the Louisville game. Louisville will be in South Bend taking on Notre Dame the weekend before they play Kentucky. So Louisville, you know, playing tough competition, like you said, Florida State, they play Clemson this year, start the season with Miami here next week. So Louisville's got some legitimate heavy hitters on their schedule. They're going to get banged up this year and have to play a sustained, you know, tough schedule all year long like they've never had to do before. And I think that's definitely going to, you know, take its toll on them, especially they're not going to be the team they were last year as it is. So I'm ever the optimist, I'm going to say Kentucky gets the huge win on the road at the end of the season. The team and the coaching staff come of age and put it all together, and it'll cap what will be considered a hugely successful season, going 5-7 and just heading into the off season with nothing but positive momentum going forward.
Amazing. We both ended up at the 5-7 season, which I think is a large step up for this team. That would show great improvement and momentum going into year 3. We took different routes to get there, but we both got to the 5-7 season. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I'm just so giddy that you think they're going to beat Louisville. I just really don't have much else to say, Chris. I don't know if you do. I'm excited at the prospect of beating Louisville to end the season.
Well, you know, and hey, 5 wins is very, very optimistic for this team. I think we can both agree on that. I think that giving this team 5 wins, you know, remember what last year, what did we say, 6-6, extremely optimistic. And we're doing it again this year, a little more grounded, giving them 5 wins instead of 6. They're definitely going to be a better team this year. But I just think that there's just certain things that are going to line up for them at the end of the year when that Louisville game comes around. Like I said, Louisville's going to be banged up. It's going to be a tougher schedule than they've ever faced before, coming off the heels of going up to South Bend. You don't just go up and play at Notre Dame, you know. They're probably going to go up there and get beat. I don't know. But I just think that, you know, it's just going to line up at the end of the year. There's going to be, you know, a lot on the line. Like I said, Stoops can kind of spin it that this is our game, this is our bowl game, you know, this is the final game of the year, this is the biggest game of the year. It means, you know, I don't have to explain how much what the Louisville game means, you know. So I just think that, you know, it could shape up into where that would be a really, really big game.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. You got anything else to add this week?
Nope.
Well, in this, as we always do, go Cats!
Go Cats!